I love this psalm. This is the second one I mentioned last week. This, when my first wife was passing away, that Psalm 57 became very special to me, and this psalm right here became very special to me. And if you want to know how to remember pastors, one of pastors' favorite psalms is Psalm 61. This is as carnal as it's going to get, all right? My favorite all-time race car driver was number 61. That's all you got to remember. Right, Mike? And so you'll know which one of my favorite psalms is. And that'll probably, anything that foolish, you'll probably never slip out of your mind, right? But anyway, this will be the third, I started a few passages that when I go to the hospital to read to people, these are some of the passages that I like to read to them. Now, you'll notice a lot of these psalms that I've mentioned, these three, Psalm 27, Psalm 57, and Psalm 61, you notice they're short psalms. You don't need to read a whole book, but you could read two or three different psalms while you visit the hospital. And this really is one that I like. I mentioned a little while ago before we read it. I just about like every verse in the psalm. I mean, I looked at a different Bible yesterday when I was studying this, and I have every verse underlined in this whole psalm. I could have just took a highlighter and highlighted the whole thing. I mean, I just love this psalm. Now, this psalm is written by David, obviously. Most likely while his son Absalom was in rebellion against him. Now, I want you to notice some of the things, and I'm going to read. There's only a few verses here, so I'm going to read them several times. But I want you to notice in verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." David prayed about a foe. David prayed about an enemy. Then I want you to notice in verse 6, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations." He did pray for protection for his life. I do believe that there's some prophecy involved in that verse as well, when Jesus will come and sit on the throne of David. Then I want you to notice in verse 7, but I'm not going to go there tonight. Verse 7, he says this, "He shall abide before God forever." The word abide there actually means, if it might even be in your Bible, if you have a Bible with little translations once in a while, enthroned. So it means he prays for the security of his throne, where he'll be enthroned. Now, the psalm, this particular psalm, like many others, begins with David having a sad heart. I mean, when you read the first verse, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." David's got a sad heart. But it concludes with an air of praise. Notice what it said in verse 8. "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And so it begins with prayers and tears, but it ends with a song of praise. Have you ever been there? Where you're in part of your life somewhere, and it's just been tears. And you'll notice another word here in just a moment. But it concludes in praise. Sometimes we go through that. But what makes it good when you go to a hospital is some of those people that are there, they're going through it right now, right then when you're there with them. Matthew Henry said this, "So the soul, being lifted up to God, returns to the enjoyment of itself." And so David calls on God. Now he calls on God because of God's protection. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 3. "Thou hast showed thy people," wrong verse, wrong chapter, "for thou hast been a shelter." What tense is "hast been"? Past tense. David said, "Look, God, you've been a shelter for me before. I don't reckon you're going to let me down now." And then in verses 4 and 5, he said this, I'll read these again, "I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." He's going to call upon God because God had provided well for him before, and he's assuming that God's going to provide well for him again. And then if you go to verses 6 through 8, and you can read that again yourself, he's going to praise God because he had assurance of the continuance of God's favor to him. That'll help your attitude right there. So he starts in verse 1, and he says, "Hear me." And verses 1 through 4 is another cry to the Lord. You know, you can cry out to God more than once. You can cry out to God tonight. You can cry out to God tomorrow. You can cry out to God the next day. David, remember when David sinned and God told him the sword would never depart from his house? David had battle after battle after battle after battle. You talk about somebody when they say, you know, you're facing your giants. Goliath wasn't the only giant that David faced in his life. So he says, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. Now, he's crying out to God. There is an urgency in David's cry because he was, look what it says in verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart, what's the next word? Overwhelmed. There are times in our life, beloved, when we just feel overwhelmed. Those things happen to people. I mean, it happened to David, and he was a man after God's own heart. Sometimes the pressures of life and the disappointments of people and the hard things that we go through, sometimes they just cause you to feel like, man, I'm just overwhelmed. And that's where he is, by what's happening. And he's kind of like, turn to Psalm 142. That's a short psalm too, so read this one. He just feels the pressure. Now notice what he says here in this particular psalm. He uses, oh, I should have put a ribbon here. He uses the same word. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And I was crying out to God again. I said, you can cry out to God over and over. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Here's David again in a trouble. This is when he's in the cave. When my spirit, you see that word again, was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path and the way wherein I walked. Have they privately laid a snare for me? I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I mean, this poor fellow's down. I cried unto the Lord, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, and now watch what he does here. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise thy name. Thy righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That's another wonderful psalm that David writes. Let me turn back here to Psalm 61. He's overwhelmed. Some of you have been overwhelmed with life situations. I've been overwhelmed by life situations. There's been a time or two when I've been overwhelmed by church situations, if you want to know the truth. Several years ago, I don't know whose glasses these are, but somebody needs to clean them. They're female glasses. You take them, they're yours. But anyway, I got this hate letter in the mail. It just crushed me. I mean, it just crushed me. I felt overwhelmed. So I came to church. I try to get here at 7:30 on Sunday mornings. I don't always make it that time. Sometimes I'm a little earlier. Sometimes I'm a little later. But my goal is 7:30. And I try to get in my vehicle when Erwin Lutzer is preaching. I just like to hear that guy preach. But anyway, so if I can time it just right. So I come over here. This is just exactly how I was. I sat in my office. I sat down at the chair. I said, well, there probably won't be nobody. I don't even know why I'm going to study. Ain't nobody going to show up for church today. Why are they going to show up? Nobody wants to hear me preach. Nobody wants to hear me teach anything. And I'm having, you know what a pity party is? Okay, I was having a good old-fashioned pity party right there. And then a little while later, maybe 8 o'clock, you know, there's about three families that come to 8:30, but they're here before 8 o'clock. Rich and Connie, Bob and Belva, and Eunice. I mean, they're here like 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why they get here so early, but they are here early, and they stand out there, and Milton Shars shortly thereafter. You know, some of you don't realize it's okay to be early to go to an appointment, but it is. Anyway, they come, so I start seeing cars pull in. I said, well, I guess there will be somebody here in church today, won't there? And after a while, the parking lot got fairly full, and so I was feeling better by then. But anyway, sometimes you just feel overwhelmed. Now, he's not at the end of the earth. You see verse 2 there in Psalm 61? He says, from the end of the earth will I cry. He wasn't at the end of the earth. But he was, what was happening, and he was fainting under the pressure. But I'll tell you what, even though he wasn't at the end of the earth, he felt that way. You might say it like this. I feel like I'm at the end of my ropes. I don't know where to go. He was away from home. He was away from the sanctuary of God. He couldn't go back there at this particular time. He's describing spiritual geography. and his need to know the presence of God and what was going on. Now, he uses a similar image of the Lord. Let me keep reading there. At the end of verse 2, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, I wanted Bill to sing that song tonight, but I think it's a wonderful song where we sing about how just lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So that's what he's talking about. But he also, three verses in Psalm 18 mentions the rock. Three verses in Psalm 2 mentions the rock. Let me ask you a question. Who's your rock? Who's your rock? If it's not Jesus, you got the wrong rock. You might want to ask somebody if you read them that psalm in a hospital, who is your rock? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the doctor? You're trusting in the nurse? Are you trusting in God? But anyway, he's the rock. Now, David was unable to climb higher by himself. He needed the Lord to help him, and he needed the Lord to sustain him. He said, I cry unto thee in verse 2. Not going to cry to other gods. I'm not even going to cry to others. I'm going to cry out to the Lord. I'm not going to fall out of thee because thou afflictest me, but still look to him and wait upon him. Not speaking to God in a cold and callous manner, but cry to him with the greatest, the word in Luke is importunity and fervency of spirit, as one who won't let go except God blesses him. I'm just going to cry out to the Lord. Now, you got to get this. We are never so far away that we cannot pray to the Lord. And we are never in a case so low. I think about Jonah. I wonder how low he went. That we can't cry out to God. But wherever we are, we always have access to the throne of God, to the throne of grace. Now, verse 3, it says, has been. You know, that is something that all of you ought to remember to do. David looked back at his life, and he was encouraged to remember that God had never failed him in any crisis. And he will not fail him now. You know, that's a good thing to do. Sometimes when you're going through a hard time in your life, you might say, has God ever blessed me? And you might want to, you know that song, Count Your Many Blessings? You might want to look back in your life and say, well, God blessed me here. God blessed me here. Amen. David could have looked back in his life and said, well, I remember that bear. And I remember that lion. We won that battle, God and I. And I remember Goliath as just a young boy. And God and I won that battle. If we won those battles, we can win more battles. And David did win a lot of battles, by the way. God, don't ever forget to do that. Now, I want you to think about something I'm going to say here. Has God ever failed you? Because listen, you may have felt like God has failed you. I said this in a message a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it tonight. Sometimes you've got to learn to trust the sovereignty and the providence of God, and I defined it as this. You need to trust the hidden hand of God. Because there's times in your life you don't know what's going on. And now I just asked you that question, has God ever failed you? A few months ago, it's been within the last 6 months, maybe I'd say within the last 6 months, a man came into my office, we were chit-chatting, and I asked him that question, well, has God ever failed you? He says, yes, God has failed me. Now, that's a sad spiritual place to be. And you know what? When people get that way, you know what they're not doing? They are not trusting the hidden hand of God. God wasn't going to fail David now. God's not going to fail you now. I think we need to hear that every once in a while. God isn't going to fail us now. I don't care what goes on in life. We're in Psalm 61, Pete. Look at verse 4. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. To David, God's home was the tabernacle, the place where his glory dwelt, and David longed to be back in Jerusalem to worship and to adore his Lord. I want you to notice again back in verse 2 at the end of it, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That was David's specific prayer, his specific petition. Lead me to the rock. Man, he was ready to sink. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. God's power and God's promises are a rock that is higher than we are. And so one of our prayer requests ought to be is, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Jesus. Remember in Exodus 32, God speaking to Moses? The Bible says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my right my hand while I pass by. But I'm going to put you in the rock. Then I want you to notice something else in verse 4. I will abide in the tabernacle for how long?
Forever.
Forever. That refers to all of his life on earth. And all of your life on earth, don't ever get angry with God because you don't know what's going on. Because if you go to the hospital and you read this psalm, that might be something you want to remind people of. Don't be angry with the Lord. Allow God to use this for your glory and for his good. I said that wrong. No, I didn't. For his glory and your good. Did I say it right the first time?
No.
I figured I didn't. Is that my only mistake so far?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good night then. It's better than average. There we go. Hey? Now let's look here down to verse 5 again. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Now, when he became a king, David had made some vows. He made some promises to the Lord and to the people. And David intended to keep those promises. Now, here's another question. Did you ever make any vows to the Lord? Do you intend to keep them? Or are you just going to, like, what's the use? Throw in a towel. David obeyed the Lord. You can go back and read Psalm 18, the latter portion there, 19 through 27. And he sought to be the shepherd of the nations. Now, why would the Lord care for David all of these years, give him his throne, and then allow him to be replaced by his wicked son? Why was God allowed that? His throne was his heritage from the Lord. You get that in Psalm 16. Just as the land of Israel was the heritage or the possession of God's people. His request in verse 6 and 7, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. His request in verse 6 and 7 relate to God's gracious covenant with David. Remember the covenant God made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7? And that his throne would be an everlasting throne. That was one of the Davidic covenants we studied. The Lord promised David a throne forever. The Lord promised David a dynasty forever. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne is the sun before me, it says in Psalm 89. And this has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and ultimately it will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. David's concern isn't for himself, but it's for the future of Israel, and God gets God's great plan of redemption. So David's own throne is in jeopardy, and at that time, he had confidence that God would keep his promises. Now, here's some more application. Do you have the confidence that God will keep his promises without wavering? You know, if everything in your life is going beautiful, it's easy to say, I'll always trust the Lord. I'll never quit on God. I'll never have a bad thought. I'll never be overwhelmed. That'll never happen to me. Oh, it probably will happen to you. And you and you and you and you and you. And me. And I've already been through some of it, and I'll probably be through some more again. So, his own throne was in jeopardy. And at that time, he had confidence that God would keep his promises. Now, do you know what protects us? Look at verse 7 again. He shall abide before God forever. Now, watch the two words. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. You know what protects us and preserves us? God's mercy and God's truth. Today we say, sing sometimes, may Jesus Christ reign forever. So we say in verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Jay Vernon, I was reading a little bit on him earlier, and he said, make your vows and then get close to God. Sing his praises, and he will help you to fulfill your vows, which gave me a thought for a sermon. What's the profit to us as we praise the Lord? I might preach on that here in a few weeks. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your truth and your faithfulness. And we can cry out to you anytime, anywhere, any place. And we're in the hard times of life and we feel like we're overwhelmed and the pressures come on us. We can still trust you. You've gave us victory before. There's no reason to think you'll never give us victory again. This is a wonderful psalm for us. And as we sometimes sit next to people in the bed of a hospital, they need to learn how to put their confidence and they need to learn how to rest on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, And I pray that you would give us the ability to communicate it. But beyond that, you would allow us to apply this psalm to our hearts whenever we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to give you something tonight that has to do with political.